Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning to our listeners and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Bergquist, your host of Women Lead Radio, and with me today is our leading lady, the fabulous and wonderful, but wait for it, she has an amazing title, Sylvia Becker-Hill, who is the founder and the CEO and the empowerment wizard of UBA, Women International. So Sylvia, say hello to all of our listeners this morning.
Welcome. I'm so happy to be with you all.
I just started out with excitement. And I'm just, for five times for fun, I'm going to say UBA, UBA, UBA women, UBA. It is the most incredible word ever. And I know, you know, our topic today is on, you know, going from Wonder Woman to Superwoman to UBA woman. And, you know, I know you have a distinct difference between them, but can you kind of share with our listeners, I mean, what is an UBA woman and how do you go from, I personally want to be an Uber woman, but I thought Superwoman was pretty super, but I guess not. Tell us the difference.
Yeah, so I want to start out with giving hope and excitement to everyone, because historically we are living in such exciting times for women. We have opportunities and possibilities right in front of us, which are historically completely new. And to give us a quick run-up from Wonder Woman to Superwoman to Uberwoman, Wonder Woman was the time in our history where women still had to fight enormously for the legal rights to be treated like men, the legal rights to vote, the legal rights to make their own money, the legal rights to get into job positions they wanted. So Wonder Woman needed superpowers beyond the human powers to even get us there. And then when that phase was over, when Wonder Woman is now just a wonderful comic figure but not really any longer needed, then we had the decades of Superwoman, where we all, like a bit like Margaret Thatcher, believed we have to be more powerful, more educated, we have to work harder than men, we had to be more than just a woman, we had to be a Superwoman to play with the big boys in the corporate field, to get us into higher ranks in the business world. We had to adjust, we had to adapt, we had to be very, very flexible. You remember in the 80s, these horrible business suits with the stuff they put into the shoulders, so that we changed even our body shape to look more like a guy than our natural, beautiful female figures. It was hilarious. So thank God the Superwoman time is over, because the Superwoman paid a big, big price for being tough on herself, for working long hours, for working more than their bodies could do. The sad big price for Superwoman was an amount of stress and factor symptoms in the health arena, which women historically never had before, like heart attacks. That was something stressed out male executives experienced, but not women.
Right.
Sadly, Superwoman did that. So now the good news is the time of Superwoman is over as well, and the dawn on the horizon of Uberwoman is there. And with all movement and evolution and history from one extreme to the other extreme, we are now finding a new common ground, a new middle way, where we women are now at a phase where we can define what success means to us from the inside out. Instead of first needing to fight for our rights and then adapting and stepping into the mold of a male corporate world, now we have the freedom and the power to define and step up and define what does success mean for me very individually, for me as a business owner or a female executive, what does work-life balance mean for me. So the time right now is really for the rise of a new value system and a complete new definition of what success means. And we never had this freedom and power before.
This is awesome. And those are fabulous words. I mean, seriously, it's like, I can very much visualize a superwoman doing all kinds of things. And, you know, they're on top or not on top of everything. You know, it's like, you know, the home, the work, all of it. So I think that's awesome how you explained that analogy. And I know one thing you call yourself is a corporate change agent. And you bring in the neuroscience into things. But give our listeners an idea of what are some of the things you work with when you work with women. I mean, what are some of the things that, you know, I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, do I want to be an Uber woman? You know, what do you work with women so they can go from being not superwoman to Uber woman?
Yes. So as historically, we all had to fight through the external glass ceilings in society. We had to fight against prejudice and judgments that women are too emotional or are too easily stressed and all these kind of biases we had. Interestingly, now the society, the structures are welcoming women more and more, and still women are saying very often no to higher job and leadership positions. Why is that? Because in our own brains, between our own ears, we have an internal glass ceiling. Because after thousands of years where collectively we have heard we are second-class citizens, we are not fully human, we are fragile, we are weak, etc., pp., power, the notion of power, is very scary for our subconscious mind. So what I do with my clients is we first analyze very classic what is the goal, the dreams, the result they want to achieve. And then we analyze with the tools and models I have developed what is their personal glass ceiling in their own brain, what is their subconscious programming which says, no, I'm not going in this direction because it's way too scary, it's way too dangerous. Maybe I lose my relationships privately. Maybe I lose my image. Maybe I lose my sense of femininity. Then when a woman doesn't accomplish with quite, of let's say, a style of ease and grace what she's dreaming to accomplish, that is a symptom that something in her own subconscious mind is saying no and stepping on the brake. And this misalignment between subconscious mind and conscious mind is what a Uber woman has the courage to face. An Uber woman is a woman who says, wait a minute, I'm not blaming my boss, my company, my clients, the economy for the lack of my success. I know it's something inside of me, a glass ceiling where I'm hitting the wall again and again because I have a blind spot. I don't know what it is. So let's have a break, let's have a stop, and let's analyze what is the glass ceiling I have to break through inside of myself.
And I like that you said, I mean, this is, you know, I've known quite a few coaches, you know, and I know, you know, transformative change agent, corporate change agent, you know, when you go and work with a woman like this, walk me through, you know, if you can, just so our listeners can understand, because I do think we have a lot of executive women and women owners that are listening, and I think all of us kind of know there's a lot that goes on between our two ears. You know, I call it head trash, and I know you call it something more fabulous, but, you know, it's the stuff that holds us back. And so I'm curious, what is the process like? What's it like to go through, you know, that transformative change? I mean, how do you do that with people? Is it just by identifying what's going on, or give us some idea?
And do you allow me to be a bit naughty? Is that okay?
When we talk, I can't beep you, so we'll go with that, dear. So you go with it.
Okay,
we'll see.
Good.
If not, I'll interrupt.
Okay, so
be naughty.
A big issue for female executives is negotiating their salary. And probably most listeners will know that, sadly, most women don't ask for what they are worth. And also business owners, when they go and pitch for new clients, projects, or sell their products, women have a very hard time to sell themselves or their services on the value level they would deserve. So a conversation I have with women is, for example, then checking into their life, into their relationships, and when they are married, regarding what their spouse, the environment is saying to them in their own mind, okay, what would happen? What would be dangerous if you make more money, for example, than your husband? What is dangerous about if you would make more money than your parents did? What is dangerous about if you would make more money than all your social circles and your closest friends? For women, the need to nurture their relationships, the need to bond, the need to stay connected is huge because it means safety. And it's now scientifically and through research proven that a lot of women subconsciously know that, and now I have to be a bit naughty, sorry, when women's salary exceeds the salary of their husband, a lot of husbands subconsciously stop performing in bed. Because for so many thousands of years, their role was to be the one who makes more money and provides for the family. So there's a role reversal, which is dangerous, and the subconscious mind knows that. The subconscious mind has a very simple equation. Do I want to make more money, or do I want to have a fulfilled love life with my husband? Well, that is more important for my long-term fulfillment in life, so we ask for less money. And that is all running subconsciously. So by talking about it, by drawing visuals, by discussing it, by stepping into the potential different kind of aspects from their social environment, what would be the threat for their relationships? Women have these big ahas and they realize, they know it. Oh my gosh, I would outshine my father who had his own company. I would make more money than my dad, and that just doesn't work for our family system. And by becoming aware of it, then a woman has a new choice. And part of that new choice is most of the time an open and straightforward conversation. Going, for example, to a father and asking, hey, Dad, how would you react if I'm your daughter, make more money than you? Or going to a husband and have a conversation, hey, honey, how do you think you will react if I bring more money home than you make? And these are the kinds of conversations and then making a conscious choice women have to make in order to be free to ask what they are worth.
So do women come to you personally? Do you do your consulting over the phone with them? I mean, what's the process like? You know, I mean, you mentioned conversation. So is it all discussions, or what do you do? I mean, once you identify those things, do you give homework to people? I'm trying to have our listeners understand,
yes,
what's it like to work with a change agent? I mean, how do you get the between the ears to kind of, like, you know, sink and go the right way? Because it's fascinating.
Yes.
Just kind of curious, how does that happen? I mean, what do you do with women other than conversations?
Yes, so I'm also a so-called neuroplasticity trainer. I know it's a very difficult word. Neuroplasticity means that the brain is able to change itself. And so without needing a knife, I don't cut open any brains. I give women linguistic tools, which means through language, and I give them distinctions and self-coaching processes. I teach them things so that they don't need me after the coaching is over. I make them independent, and I empower them to be able to understand how their own brain operates, and so that they are able to create the alignment between the subconscious resistances and their conscious goals. I do this over the phone. I do this in person through so-called intense VIP days where people fly in from all over the world and meet me either at the hotel or at my office. And I do it also over Skype, which has the advantage that people, for example, one of my clients, she sits in Southern Africa. She is the president of a male-dominated environment and company in the industrial section. And she has a ton of leadership questions. So what we do is we draw on my easel her team, and we analyze the relationships in her team, and I answer her leadership questions, how to show up as an Uber woman. She loves that word too, that title. And how she can lead a bunch of guys in an authentic, powerful way where she doesn't need to become more male, where she doesn't need to lose her femininity, but still be accepted by these men, and finding a language. Also, most of my clients have international teams, which means they have to deal with different cultures. So So it's highly important to understand the dynamics between them and their team and what's going on in these people's brain and how to lead and communicate without triggering the so-called ego of other people. Because independent from the gender, we all have an ego, and the ego is easily threatened. And when a leader threatens the ego of its team members, people perform lower. They are just simply scared, they are stressed out, and the performance goes down. So I teach over the phone or Skype, visually, with drawings, with images, with models, so that my clients are more empowered to be authentic, to be free, and use language and communication in a very precise, very intentional way to create the results they want.
So cool, so cool. And I think, you know, so many women need that, you know, because none of us want to be men, but, you know, some of the behaviors and how do you get results, it's like sometimes we have to take on those male tendencies, which I love hearing you talk about this. And, you know, one kind of thing I'm curious about is what, you know, from all the women you've worked with, you know, and I know you're international and I know you're from Germany and I think that's hugely attractive and all of that. I'm just kind of curious. It's like, you know, can you share? It's like one of your favorite kind of breakthroughs or results with a woman that you worked with. I mean, what was her struggle or issue and how did you help her work through it? And what were some of the results? I mean, the one that was on, you know, the glass ceiling with the salary negotiation was great. Is there another story you can share with maybe some of the breakthroughs one of your clients experienced?
Sure. One of my female executives back in Germany, who is now, because of the work we've done, a CEO, she had a weird situation going on. Every time she went into a boardroom meeting where there were only men and she was the only woman, she could feel that she was somehow internally like collapsing, that she started to be fidgety, nervous, her tongue was swelling up, she had these dry mouths, and she just felt, even though she knew I'm brilliant, I'm highly educated, I can do this, consciously she knew who she was, but she felt like something got triggered in her, and she felt like a little girl. She had this awareness, and she came to me and said, Sylvia, this doesn't work. I can't be the little girl in a boardroom with a bunch of guys when I'm applying here for the CEO job. Can you help me? So what we did was through back and forth of questions and visualizations, analyzing a very specific trigger, which was linked with a story she had with her dad, where her dad just said things to her like, be a cute little girl and everyone loves you. Don't be too confident. Don't interrupt. She had like this whole long list of don't, what she shouldn't do in order for people to like her. So every time she went into this situation, now she was 48, I think, when we worked together, her brain, and this is an interesting information maybe for our listeners, the subconscious mind can't distinguish between past, present, and future. The subconscious mind is always in the here and now. So when we get triggered, when there is an external trigger and the subconscious mind brings up an old memory, an old pattern of behavior, we are regressing. We are not any longer the 48-year-old, highly educated, self-confident woman. Suddenly we are the little 4.5-year-old or 5-year-old little girl who wants on daddy's lap and be just smuggly and cute and safe. And so that mechanism is something which shows up a lot. And you can easily break it by simply putting your awareness on it and becoming clear about it, the mechanisms, and then you can make a new choice. An Uber woman is a woman who owns her knowing that she always is a choice. But in order to make that choice, you need the awareness first. So we were able to break through that pattern, and now she is the 48-year-old woman when she goes into a boardroom meeting,
the
4.5-year-old girl.
I love it. And, you know, I'm curious, it's like, how hard has it been? I mean, I feel like I know a lot of women as well, right? And so I can hear some of our listeners going, you know, I have a hard exterior. I mean, how hard is it to crack through and find, you know, women who will share some of those such personal details with you? Is it just through the conversations, or do you find there's a lot of resistance with women to get to the heart of what is the real issue? Because I know pretty easy?
No, it's easy. I experience the women who are attracted to me or who I attract, they are committed to be their best self. They all have, they are all ambitious. They are all driven, and they feel the gap between where they are now and their potential. They have a vague sense there's more possible for me. I can be someone different. I can be more. And they sense that gap, and that gap hurts them. And this gap they are committed to close. So they come to me and tell me, Sylvia, this is not who I want to be. Yesterday we had a team meeting. Someone pushed my buttons and I started yelling. And that reminded me of my mother 40 years ago. And I promised myself I will not ever be like her. And now I am. So women coming to me, they are very, very clear what they want. And they own the fact that it's in them. All the solutions and the power to get where they want, it's in them. And they are very open. They hardly, I don't experience resistance with them. I work also with male executives. That's a different story. There I have challenges with sometimes barriers and resistance because they are not used to look at into their emotionality. They are not used to look into themselves. But women, oh my God, it's so beautiful and easy to work with women because when they are committed, they drop all resistance.
Wow, that's powerful. That's cool. I didn't know. And I think some of our listeners might be asking, it's like, you've got quite a background and certifications and all that. I mean, but how did you even get into doing this as a profession? I mean, how did it all start for you, short and quick? Because I know I have some other questions for you, but how did you get started, to do the coaching you do?
In the danger that this sounds like a cliche, I was quite a very unhappy teenager myself. Because I was always the best in class. I was a so-called gifted child. And as great that looks from the outside, for teenagers where it's all about bonding with your peers and having stable relationships, being always the best and being envied, and I was lonely. And so I was not happy in my skin, and I wanted to change myself. So as an early teenager, I had this question, what do I need to do, or how can we humans, how can we be different? How can we get out of our skin? How can we grow? These kind of questions were really painful, intimate, personal questions I had from early on. So whatever education or my university degrees, whatever I did, the core question for me was always, what do we humans need to make positive, lasting change? And what I do with my clients most of the time are things I experienced myself and I had to go through. So it's nothing foreign I'm doing with them. And when I learn a new modality, a new technique, how to rewire people's brain, I first work with that for a few months on myself. And my poor husband is my guinea pig. He's always the next person. And when it works on me and him, then I start using it with my clients because I know I can't preach when I'm not walking the talk. So it's my own suffering from feeling this gap between where I am and where my potential is. And I'm telling you, I'm not done yet. I believe until the last breath we take, we can grow and change and move towards our potential.
But aren't we? We're always growing and changing, right? I mean, I definitely got that memo. I was like, I know that it's like it's always about growth and change and being uncomfortable and going to the next level. I'm curious for our listeners, it's like what would be maybe three tips or suggestions or even slices of advice you would give to our listeners? Of course, I know you want but we'll get to that in a second. But what would be a couple of tips you might share with them?
Yes, we promised them on our internet page about the interview that we give them a powerful ritual, and I have prepared a quick tiny exercise. And so for those listeners who are in a safe place, which means if you are not driving by a car, if you're driving, please don't do the exercise. But if you're in a safe place, I invite you very quickly to do an exercise. So please stand up. I want to give you an exercise. We will use it for today in the interview around power, but you can use that exercise for a lot of things in your life. And it's all about women, as I said, sadly, have very often a negative relationship with power. For them, power in itself is something scary and dangerous. So what I want you to do is you stand up, you take a deep breath, you roll your shoulders, and you make sure you're standing with your feet hip-width apart, and you relax a bit into your knees. Take a few deep breaths. I'm doing that with you as well. Now take a very deliberate step to the right, just one step. Take another deep breath and now say to yourself, I am powerful. I am powerful. And you, Michelle, please follow along because I will ask you after the exercise how you feel. I am powerful. And feel how that thought is running through your body, how you are standing, how you're breathing, if there are any sensations, tingling, tension, smiling, whatever it is, just recognize it. And I'm bringing a bit fast here, but we have to look at the time. So when you're sure you can sense how it feels when you think and say, I am powerful, I ask you to step out again out of this position into the middle where you were before. Shake your booties, your hips, just shake yourself that you're out of it. I'm doing it myself. Now another deep breath and take a step to the left. Breathe in and out. And now say to yourself loud and repeat it a few times, I have power. I have power. Deep breath, I have power. And now feel how that feels in difference to what you said in the other position. I have power. And when you're sensing the difference, when you're clear about it, step out of it, back into the neutral position, shake your booty, shake your hips, your shoulders, and sit down. Okay, Michelle, I know it was fast. Were you able to do it? Could you feel a difference between when you say I have power or I am powerful? And if you
totally,
could feel the difference, tell us.
I'm still shaking my booty, just so you know. I'm still shaking my booty. It's like it's good. But, you know, there is a difference. I mean, Sylvie, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, everybody talks about the I am statements. And I know going through and breathing, it's like it did because I felt my greatness. Let me put it that way when I said I have power because I felt like I already have it. I don't know that what is the difference because those words are fabulous because there is a difference. You just feel differently when you say I have versus I am.
Yes, and that difference when you, and you can use it on power or anything, as soon as you say I am, you pull things into you, into your body. You are identified with them. And when you say I have, then you create a distance. You disassociate yourself with them. And both directions can be useful for different things. For example, I switch from power away to problem, another P word. A lot of people get stuck in their problem. And as long as you are identified with your problem, you can't change it. You need a healthy distance. So there, the word I have is much more powerful than when you say I am in a problem. I am stuck here in this situation. I am a victim. I am frustrated. As more you say I am, I am, I am, you keep stuck and make the problem bigger. So by playing with I am and I have, you can choose whenever you need more freedom from something, when you need a healthy distance, use the words I have. When you want to embody it, when you want to be, for example, powerful or happy or fulfilled, then you identify with it and you use your own language to create the state you are in. So just by using that, this is a very powerful tool. Women can really design how they go through their life using it consciously and intentionally the sentence either I have or I am.
I love it. And, you know, I can't believe we're out of time, and I want to have you share with our listeners, how can people reach you if they want to raise their hand and, you know, and be I am, if they want to am, not have, how do they reach you?
The easiest is to send me an email to Sylvia, Sylvia, @, and now my family name, Beckerhill, Becker-Hill.com. SylviaBeckerhill.com, and the @ email sign between first name and family name. That's the easiest. I check my emails throughout the day. And I would love to hear questions, comments. I'd love to hear how our conversation lands for our listeners.
Well, I thought that was pretty powerful. And so, like I said, I know you have some fabulous stuff you do, and you get right in there in the brain and neuroscience and all of it. So thank you for being our guest today. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening in to Women Lead Radio. We will be with you this Friday, again, before Labor Day. And our guest for next week, this Friday, is the lovely Eldonna Lewis-Fernandez. She will be our leading lady, and she is the author of Think Like a Negotiator. And to all of our listeners, I always thank you for listening in. We have got quite the national reach at this point. So one of the things we always look for is, you know, when you go out there and you're interacting with other women, please try to support other professional women. And to that I say, I hope all of you have a great week, and it's been our pleasure to have you listen in. We will catch you on the next one.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.